urge to just wear shorts and sandals, and now I know why. Thank you for having us here today. I'd like to introduce my guests that are with me today. This is, first of all, my mother, who was deaf from Texas, also just moved to Temple, Texas about 2-3 months ago. Beatrice Burke is here. And, yay. this is my niece. This is the daughter of Jeffrey and Teresa Light. Teresa is my sister. Jeff is my brother-in-law, pastor over at Novum Baptist Church. This is Taylor Light. She's with me today. And then her really good friend who came to the mission field with us for the first time out of the country. Right? Am I right about that? Yeah. This is Beth Martin. She's with us this morning as well. Thank you for coming. Today I'm going to tell you a little story. Actually, it's a big story. And it's not a typical missionary story. I had an 18-year career in advertising and public relations back in Texas. And, you know, I was all about the American dream, my slice, my piece of the American dream. And, you know, I'm married, I have four kids, and, you know, we had that house and the mortgage and cars. And at the time in 2002, when this really started, we had two kids in college then. And what God did was take a guy who was pretty much all about himself and about his career and cause me to change and to look and see where God was working. If you're familiar with Experiencing God and Henry Blackaby, it's an awesome book and an awesome work study. And what God did was move me from this career that I had into, and the ordinary, kind of an ordinary life, into this amazing life to watch an extraordinary God, a supernatural God, do some amazing things. And so today I'm going to share with you how God moved me from my regular career into this life of ministry. I'm not seminary trained. I'm not what you consider anybody that I never thought I had a call in my life. But God changed all that. In 2001, God brought me to this place of decision where I had been living all about me. It was all about Steve Burke and my career. I was so career-focused, and God brought me to this point of decision. And he said, Steve, do you want to continue to live for you, or do you want to live for me? And I said, Lord, in brokenness, I just said, Lord, I want to live for you. I said, but you've got to help me change. You've got to help me do things differently. And I'm telling you, for that whole first year, God just poured his grace into my life. I was a Christian. I was born again when I was 17. And I went to church every week, and I did, you know, I prayed, and I did all those things. But Jesus, I come to find out, was not Lord of my life. He was not the one I went to when I was going to make decisions or when I was going to do anything in the world. I was all about, I would make a decision, and God, come and bless this stuff. That's what I was about. And so in 2001, God just gave me this grace where I just, everything God I wanted to read. I wanted to read these books where I didn't really like to read at all. And God just gave me this passion to read, and I was reading scripture, and I was listening to Christian music, and it was all about God. I just wanted God, 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 and more of him. I had this incredible, insatiable appetite for God. And then in 2002, my wife and our two youngest kids, we went to church an ordinary Sunday, I thought. And we go in, and I can only describe it this way. The Holy Spirit just came on me, and it was like pressure on my chest, just this heavy pressure on my chest. And I'm like, whoa, what is going on today? And we sat down and we're singing worship songs. And everything God, I just would tear up. I was crying. I was so reacting to God. And I didn't understand what was happening. I'm like, what is going on? And then our pastor gets up and he said, today we've got a special guest speaker. And he is a doctor that we support in Nigeria and Africa. And he's here to share this story of how God opened up this tribe, the Fulani tribe, which is the largest Muslim tribe in the world in Africa. How God opened up through miracles, the miracles that God did of healing, that God opened up this whole Muslim tribe to this little Christian hospital and this little Christian doctor. And I'm listening to this guy share this testimony, and I'm just going, man. And the Holy Spirit's just hammering me. And I'm just listening to this, and I'm going, you know, Africa's starting to, you know, be a little interesting to me. And I open up the church bulletin, and I read the prayer request. They had five things written down that they were praying for. The first thing was they were praying for a hospital administrator, and I had worked in the hospital business and was still working at that time for 9 years. In hospital administration. And then that was me. I knew that was me. And then the second thing they were praying for was a teacher for their children. And my wife's a teacher. And I went, that's my wife. That's us. We're going to Africa. I'm smart. You know, God just nailing me. And I'm like, we're going to Africa. I knew it. And so we go home from church that Sunday. And, you know, I'm waiting for my wife to say something. Come on, Connie. Come on. Bring it, you know. Nothing happened that day. And so Monday we went to work. And I come home from work. And finally in the evening, my wife and I, we walk in the neighborhood. And we're on this walk. And my wife still hasn't said anything about this incredible testimony we had heard the day before. And I was waiting. Come on, Connie, bring it. And nothing. And finally, I just said, Connie, I just had to bring it up. I said, Connie, wasn't that an awesome testimony we heard yesterday? Oh, yeah, it was great. It was just incredible. And I said, did you read their prayer request? You know, they're looking for a hospital administrator and a teacher for their children. And she's smart, you know. She goes, yeah. Why? And I just busted out. I said, Connie, we're going to Africa. I just know God's calling us to Africa. I just felt it. Oh, you wouldn't believe. And I told her all the stuff. I'm not going to Africa. And so for about 3 months, after about three months, the Africa faded away, but the call on my life stayed. And I knew God was messing with me. I knew he had called me to something. And so for that whole year, I was just, I mean, anytime I heard anybody talking about missions or if I read it in the newspaper, I was making phone calls. I was having meetings. I wanted to know what they were doing because I was trying to figure out where I fit in. And I'm telling you, when you have God's call on your life to do something that he hadn't told you what it is yet, and you're still working where you were or doing what you were doing before, it is so hard because your heart is divided. You want to do what God wants you to do. Every bone and every fiber of your being wants to go be where God wants you to be. And you're stuck where you were and where you thought you were supposed to be. And so for a whole year, I was just, where am I supposed to be? Where am I supposed to be? It was miserable. But I ran after God. I chased after him. And a year later, in 2003, yes, in the summer, with the chaplain of our hospital, I would have a Bible study every week in my office. And so he came in one particular, I think it was in June of 2003, and he came into my office and he said, Steve, the Lord just spoke to me through the scripture this morning. And I'm like, what? What was it? Sit down, you know. And he tells me it's Isaiah chapter 6. And it's the part in Isaiah, the beginning of Isaiah, where Isaiah is going to a funeral of King Uzziah. And God appears to him, and he sees God in all of his glory, and this holy God. And he falls on his face. Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. And then God, in his mercy, sends an angel down with a hot burning coal, and he touches him on his lip, the very place where he had his sin that he had just confessed. And God cleansed it. And then Isaiah hears God saying, who will go for us? Whom shall I send? And Isaiah just says, here am I. Send me. And those words just hammered me. I mean, I said, Jaime, I said, the Lord is just speaking to me through that scripture too. And so for an hour, we talked about the scripture and we prayed and it was amazing. A few days later, what I would do is I would have a book, a Christian book in my office, and I would read a paragraph or a page just depending on what kind of time I had during a busy day. And it was basically to get back focused on God. And I was reading a book called The Ways of God by Henry Blackaby and Roy Edgman. And I left off a couple of weeks before, somewhere in the middle of the book. And I open it up, and there are the authors writing about Isaiah chapter 6, and there's that scripture, and the Lord's just hammering me with that scripture again. And I didn't know what he was trying to do. I didn't understand what he was trying to say to me, but he was getting my attention. And then I came to Virginia a couple weeks later, and I'm visiting my brother-in-law and my sister. And I told you, my brother-in-law's a pastor at Novum Baptist Church, and I go in, it's just a regular Sunday. I hadn't told him anything about this Isaiah 6 thing. And my brother-in-law, Jeff, he gets up to the podium, and he says, today we're going to do responsive reading number, whatever it was, and it's where, you know, he reads a line of scripture, the congregation reads the next line, it goes back and forth until you get a passage. And it was Isaiah chapter 6. And then he said, now let's sing that great old hymn, Here Am I, Send Me. And I ducked my head. I said, man, I can't even get away from this in Virginia. It was incredible. And so I go home. I tell them all about this, here in Virginia. And I go home and I go to a Christian bookstore there. And I always ask God what he wants me to read, what he wants me to see. And he led me to a book by Henry Blackaby. And I bought it on audio. And I took it home and I'm listening to this book on audio called Hearing God's Voice. And I'm listening to this, I can only say it this way. I just felt my entire being line up with God's will. I had peace after this year of searching where I fit in. What is it you want me to do? And then I knew for certain, yes, Steve, you have been called. But it's not time for you to know or to go yet. And I was like, yes, I knew it. I knew you were calling me. I knew, you know, I was just so glad. But I didn't know to where or to what. Well, God in his mercy didn't make me wait very long to show me. 2 weeks later, my wife and I took our two of our kids to Six Flags up in Dallas. It's about a two-hour drive for us from our house. Dropped the kids off, and my brother at the time owned a soccer retail store. He lived in Dallas. And so we went over and just popped in. It's a Saturday, and I know they're kind of busy on Saturday, but since we're in the neighborhood, I wanted to say hello. So we go in and say, hey, Pat, how you doing? And he says, oh, Steve, what are you doing here? I said, oh, we just dropped the kids off. We wanted to come by and say hello. And he says, well, it's great to see you. He said, I'm busy right now, and he said, I'll be right with you if you just wait a little bit. So my wife walks off, you know, to one part of the store looking at shorts or T-shirts or something. And I start looking on the front wall. He's got all these international soccer jerseys from England and France and Germany, you name it. They're there, and I'm just looking through these things. And all of a sudden, my brother from across the store says, Steve, You ever been to Guatemala? And I'm just, I'm like, what? What are you talking about? No, why? And he says, oh, never mind. And I thought, oh, he's trying to sell me one of these jerseys. That's what I thought, you know. Well, a few minutes later, I walk past the counter, the cash register counter, and my brother's kind of digging in behind the counter. And this little feeble voice comes out, and it's very uncharacteristic of my brother. He's not a soft-spoken kind of guy. And this little voice comes out and says, Steve, as I'm walking by, Steve, I'm going to Guatemala. What? What are you talking about? Get up here. Look at me. What are you talking about? You're going to Guatemala. What are you going to do? Who do you know there? What are you going to do there? You're going to work? You're going to live? What are you talking about? He says, I'm going to go work there, kind of this refugee camp. And then he blew my mind. Then he said, Steve, you and Chaplain Jaime were there too. What? I don't even know where Guatemala is. What are you talking about? We were there. I said, what was Chaplain Jaime doing? I said, did you have a dream or a vision or what? And he said, I had a vision last night. You know, my brother didn't even know we were coming into that store that day. But God knew. My brother had never had a vision in his whole life. And God chooses the night before me and my wife come into that store to give him one. And my brother sees Mexico, and he sees that it's the country that borders Mexico to the south. He doesn't even know the name of it. He comes into the store that morning, and he's on the internet, and it's Guatemala. He has no clue that God has talked to me about Isaiah 6 or through Isaiah chapter 6. And so here's my brother telling me. I said, well, what's Chaplain Jaime going to do? He says, well, one of the things we're going to do is we're going to build a church, and he's going to pastor that church. And I said, well, what am I doing? He says, your job is to go back and forth. You're going to be traveling back and forth and speaking at places, and you're going to lead mission trips and mission groups, and that's what you're going to do. I was like, whoa. And I told my brother about Isaiah chapter 6 and what God had just been doing with me. And both of us just stood there, and we couldn't believe how big our God was. He's so big. And so we get in the car, my wife and I, and we go pick up the two kids, and we're headed back to Temple, Texas. 2-hour drive, and I'm just praying to God, do you want me to tell my wife? I'm asking. She's not that, she's a little thing, you know, but something about that wife thing. And so I'm driving this car, and I'm praying, Lord, do you want me to tell her? For 45 minutes, I struggled. And finally, I felt like I was supposed to tell her, and I just said, Connie, my brother had a vision last night, and I told her all that had happened. And she didn't say a word. She just nothing, no expression, just staring at me. Nothing. And then she just says, Steve, can I borrow your cell phone? I want to call my mom. And her parents live out in West Texas. It's about a 5-hour drive for us, so we don't really, see them daily. And I said, sure, here's the cell phone. So she gets on the phone. Hey, Mom, what are you doing? She says, oh, hi, Connie. I just got off the phone with your brother, Mark, and my wife has one brother, no sisters, and he lives up in Kansas City, which is even further away from us, so we really don't communicate too much. I just got off the phone with your brother, Mark. His wife is Delia. He and Delia are packing up. They're getting ready to go on a mission trip later this week to Guatemala. And I just hear my wife on this side, Guatemala? And I'm like, yes, thank you, Lord. I just was so happy. And that was God just putting an exclamation point on this unbelievable call. I wrote a book called The Lord Will Provide. And the book tells the story. I've only got 5, so you have to share as you read it, pass it kind of deal. Or somebody can read the whole place in the group or whatever you want to do. But I've got a book that tells the incredible things that God did. The miracles that God did went from the call to when he led me to quit my job 3 years ago. And I want to jump to that 3 years ago part because that was the hardest thing. So, well, at the time. It was the middle of the night. And I had already felt for about 5 months and we'd already made about 8 trips to Guatemala. And the interesting thing about that is my daughter at the time was an engineering student, aerospace engineering student at Texas A&M University. And she had gotten an internship with Delta Airlines. And so because of that internship, my wife and I could fly anywhere in the world that Delta flies for free. And they fly to Guatemala City. So my first 8 trips to Guatemala were free. Because God knows me. He knows I'm like, Lord, do you know how much this costs to go to Guatemala? I'm not going to go. But God made a way for us. It was incredible. So there we are. And the God's asking me, Steve, I want you to leave your job. And I'm like, no way. when I first understood that that's what he wanted, I told him, no, I can't. Lord, just the thought of me walking into my boss's office to tell him that I quit literally made me nauseous inside. I mean, I would just throw up on him. There's no way I could do it. But after 5 months, God got me ready. He's the one that gives everything. And he gave me faith enough to, and really, he gave me a dream. It was in March of 2004, and I was sound asleep, and I was dreaming, and I don't remember my dreams, but when they come from God, they're so powerful, and they, for me, they wake me up and they're just really strong. And so there I was in March of 2004, and I was running through an airport, and I was trying to get on this huge, massive airplane, a commercial jetliner, and it was out on the runway, and I'm running through the airport to get to that plane. And I come through security, and they won't let me through. You can't get through. You can't come through. I'm sorry. You can't. And I'm like, that's my plane. I've got to get on that plane. I know that's my plane. I'm going to miss it if you don't let me through. And somehow, after a period of time, they let me through, and I'm not sure what happened. But the next thing I know is I see myself, I'm running on the tarmac, and that plane is taxiing right in front of me, and then he just takes off. And I woke up just going, no, because I knew that that plane was the ministry that God had called me to. I knew that that was my mission, my ministry. I knew that was it, and I was about to miss it. And I didn't want to miss it. And there's my wife, sound asleep. And I'm thinking, oh, goodness. I got to wake her up and tell her that the Lord wants me to quit my job and do this ministry full time. And for an hour and a half, man, I was reading my Bible. I was praying. I was just procrastinating. I didn't want to wake her up. And the Lord just kept telling me everything. He kept telling me, it's time, it's time, it's time. Scripture's everything. It's time. And so I reached over and I kind of jostled my wife. She's like, yeah. And I said, Connie, oh, this was hard to say. The Lord wants me to quit my job. And he wants me to do this ministry full time. And she, boom, I mean, she sat up so fast in bed. She said, what? That's irresponsible. You can't do that. You have a mortgage. You have kids in college. You can't do it. And I said, I know, Connie, it may seem irresponsible. You know, I was trying. I know it may seem irresponsible. I didn't realize how fast my wife wakes up until that, you know, she can wake up. And I said, it may seem responsible to the natural, to us, to the natural man. But this is what God is asking me to do. Look at all the miracles he's done in Guatemala. Look at all these things. He's going to take care of us. The ministry is called, the Lord will provide, and he will provide. It was not happy around my house for a long time because I did it. I went into my boss and I presented him a letter, a 30-day notice, and I sat down in front of him. I said, Ken, I've got to resign. And he'd already known about my trips to Guatemala and stuff. He was keeping track of that and was blown away by the miracles. But I handed him this letter, and he's like, Steve, are you sure you want to do this? I said, Ken, I have to. The Lord wants me to. He folded it up and he put it in one of his desk drawers. He said, Steve, I will keep this letter here in this drawer for a couple of weeks. And if you change your mind, if you decide you don't want to do this, then you just let me know and I will throw that thing away. It never happened. And I said, Ken, I've got to do it. I want you to accept my letter. I've got to go. I had no church supporting me. I had nothing out there. But I had to go. And so he received my letter. And by April of 2004, I had nothing. My job was over, and I was just me and you, God. Because everybody around me thought I was crazy. They thought I was losing my mind. It was hard. It was a hard time. But I knew it was God. I knew it was the Lord God Jehovah that was calling me to this. And I trusted him. By July 1st of 2004, I didn't have a house payment. I didn't have any money left in my bank accounts. I was done. And I was praying because he was my hope. And he still is my hope. And I said, Lord, you know where we are. You know what's happening. Well, the interesting thing was I had had an interest in a business in Temple where I lived about 6 months before that I'd gotten out of. And I was, because God had me so focused on him and what he wanted me to do that I couldn't do an extra job, let alone my regular job. So, I met with my former business partner, and I told him, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. And he said, okay, no problem. He said, I understand. He said, I'll get the paperwork to the lawyers, and we'll see what happens. 2 weeks before July the 1st comes of 2004. I get an email from my former business partner, and he says, Steve, the lawyers have just finished with the paperwork, and you will have your check July the 1st, on the day, of course, that my house payment's due. You know, God doesn't do things early. I wish he would. But he said, you know, he knows when the house payment's due, and he knows when he's going to provide for me. We just have to trust him. So you can fathom that one. Okay, you were lucky. That was a lucky break, buddy. You were lucky, lucky. Well, as we come to October 1st of 2004, I did not have a house payment again. And I had no clue this time. No, I had no businesses out there. I had no nothing out there. Nothing pending that would give me money to pay for this house payment. So 2 weeks before October 1st comes and goes. 1 week comes and goes. 5 days before October 1st of 2004, I get a phone call from an acquaintance, a guy that I don't know that well. And he said, Steve, you know, the weirdest thing happened to me I said, oh, really? You know, what happened? He said, a couple of nights ago, the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night. And he told me it was time to pay the Burks. Burke is my last name. He said, does that mean anything to you? And I'm like, oh, yeah, it kind of does. And God took care of us. God provided for us again. He had us praying a scripture after that called, the scripture is, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. And so we were praying that as a weapon against this giant we were facing called moneyless, because we didn't have money for the ministry. And so we're praying against this giant. And once I understood what God wanted to do with that scripture, I called some prayer warriors and friends of mine and family. And I said, look, the Lord has given me the scripture, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. We need to pray it against this mountain that we're facing. Help me pray this through. And the book, The Lord Will Provide, came out of that, because a man felt that the Lord was telling him to help us publicize this, to help us get this story out, because it's been so unbelievable. And so the book came out of that. And then about a week before Christmas of 2004, I get a phone call from a guy, and he said, Steve, I wanted to come over to your house. I want to bring you your Christmas present. I'm like, well, okay, you know, come on over. And so he shows up, and it's me and my wife there, and the kids are gone, and he comes over, and he hands me this box, a Federal Express box. It's about 8.5 by 11, about 3 inches deep, and he says, Merry Christmas. And it's heavy. And I'm thinking, man, what do you got in here, the Ten Commandments or something? He didn't laugh. He just said, open it. So I got a knife, and I cut that thing open. And it looked like candy to me. It didn't even look real to me. But it was ounces and 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 go on of gold bars. And I mean, I just sat there and I just couldn't speak. I mean, I was, God, you are so big. You are so big. And my wife was like, oh, thank you so very much. Thank you for bringing that over. Merry Christmas to you. You know, my wife's doing all the talking because I can't speak. Because God has just blown me down. He has just stunned me. He answered our specific prayer, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty, with gold. How big is our God? And with that money, we were able to do ministry. That's when we first had our first mission trips to Guatemala. That's when God started bringing people to us that we were supposed to support, because that's what we are in Acts chapter 6 ministry. We provide for the physical needs of those who are called to spread the gospel, so that they can do their job without worrying about their families. They can go out and spread the gospel and preach and preach and preach to the poor. And that's where we are, among the poor. It's incredible. And you look in the Bible, what happens in Acts chapter 6, that those priests were called, they came to their calling. They answered their call because their physical needs were being taken care of. And that's exactly what's happening in Guatemala. And so it was awesome. We have gotten to see God do some amazing things and bring some incredible people to us. That I mean, they're up in the remotest places, and God is so up there working with them and doing miracles and incredible stuff, stories that I could tell you for hours. But here we are, last year in the spring, me and my family. We've got maybe 2 months left before we don't have a house payment again. God likes us there. I don't. But that's where we were. And I'm praying one morning, and the Lord says, Steve, I want you to sell your house. I'm like, okay, you know, I didn't have a problem with that. I said, but Lord, I need a confirmation of that, because I got to tell my wife, because I want to be sure that this is from you. So a couple of days later, I'm in a Lifeway Christian bookstore. I wasn't even planning to go there. And the Lord, I mean, it's just a series of things. God got me there. And I was like, I didn't know why I was there. So I'm walking around, Lord, what do you want me to see? And I pick up End of the Spear on audio again. And I make the purchase, and you know, in the Lifeway, if you've been to a Lifeway, it's like, as soon as you're done purchasing, boom, I'm out the door. I've got nothing else to look at. I'm done. And I make my purchase. I'm walking out the door, and this guy that looks like he's homeless stops me. He says, are you a pastor? I said, no. I said, we have a ministry in Guatemala. And he starts engaging me and asking more questions about our ministry. It was kind of weird. And then in the meantime, this guy that was behind me in line makes his purchase, and he comes over, and he stands right next to me. And I just thought, well, he's with this guy. You know, I thought they were together. Well, finally, this guy just can't take it anymore, and he comes around in front of me, sticks out his hands, hi, I'm Richard. He's like, oh, hi, Richard, you know, nice to meet you. And he said, I was standing in line behind you over there, and the Lord wants me to tell you something. He looked so nervous, because he was afraid to step out, you know, of his comfort zone like that. The Lord wants me to tell you something. And I'm like, okay, what is it? He said, Jesus is saying that there are some things that are happening in your life right now. And he wants me to tell you that they are from him. And right away, that spoke of the house. He didn't even have to say the house. I knew what he was talking about. It's amazing when God speaks, you know what he means. And this guy took off. He had to go. That's why he lost patience and left. Told me the word and he left. The homeless guy went a whole other way, and I went my way. That I don't know to this day, that homeless guy was an angel. I have no clue who he was. But I know that God put him there to keep me from leaving the store before I could hear from the man behind me in line. God is so big. And so there I am, driving my car home. I have my end of the spear, and I'm driving home. And okay, Lord, I want you to tell my wife. He didn't want me. He didn't want to. A couple of days later, my wife, again, knows we're about 2 months out before we're done again. I'm driving the car, and she just looks at me, and she goes, Steve, what are we going to do about the house? Oh, and I was driving, and I just went, Lord, I wanted you to tell her. And I just turned back, and I'm smiling. I said, oh, Connie, it's funny you ask. And I start telling her what God had been showing me about the house, that he wants us to sell our house. She's like, oh, I don't want to sell the house. And I said, no, I know, Connie. I said, I don't either. But this is what he's asking us to do. We just need to be obedient. We just need to do what he's asking. He's doing something. So when we got home, my wife got a piece of paper out and just started making a list of all the things we had to do to get ready, the house ready to sell, painting and doing, you know, fixing stuff. And for about a month, I was doing that list, fixing stuff up. And at the same time, there were people that were praying for us. And I got two separate emails from two different people that said the Lord was showing them that they believe that our house is our Isaac, that God is asking us for the house, but he's not going to require it of us. He's not going to take it from us. That it's your Isaac, that he's going to replace your house with something else somehow. He's not going to take it from you. He just wants to make sure that you don't love your house or your American dream more than you love him. It's like, okay, that's good. That's good information. Thank you. And then another lady who's a seer. This woman, when she prays, God shows her things with pictures. And she said, I was praying for you, Steve, and I saw you on a boat on a lake, and you were casting a net out into the water. And she said, I believe God's going to use your house as a net. That people are going to come to your house, they think they're going to be buying a house or looking at a house they want to buy, but you're going to be ministering to them. You're going to be telling them what God is doing in your life. I said, okay, awesome, that's great. And so finally I finished all those little duties, those chores, and the house was ready to sell. And I went to a store and I got a for sale by owner sign and I put it out in the front yard. And 2 days later, the first couple comes to my house. And I'm selling a house. You know, I'm walking around, here's our living room, here's our bedroom, look at this kitchen, huh? You know, I'm just selling the house. We go out into the garage, and half my two-car garage is full of stuff to come to Guatemala, school desks and stuff like that. And she asked, what's all this? And I said, oh, well, the Lord has called us into a ministry called The Lord Will Provide. And these are things that are eventually going to go to Guatemala. She's like, oh. And then this woman just wants to talk about missions from then on. She starts telling me about this good friend of hers that's just got a call in her life to India that she's about to leave in another month. And she just, I mean, it's all about missions. And I'm still trying to sell the house, and she didn't want to talk about the house. And then she starts to cry. This tear just comes down her cheek as she's talking about missions. And she says, I feel like I have a call in my life too. But God hadn't told me to where it is or what it is. And I know that place. I know how hard it is. And I told her that. She said, my mom thinks I'm crazy. She thinks I'm losing my mind. She said, even my pastor doesn't believe what God can do. And I said, that's okay. I said, but if you're certain, 100% certain that it's God, then you have to do it. You have got to be obedient to God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. He will take care of everything else if you put the kingdom first. And that's exactly what I told her, and I gave her a copy of my book. And for 3 months, that's what it was. It was ministry. I was the woman with the vision of on the lake and the net, she was right. There I was, ministering to people who were coming to buy a house, and here I am telling them about a bigger God than maybe the one they knew that morning. And I gave everybody a copy of my book except for one person for 3 months. So here we come to July of last year. I don't have a house payment for August. And there it comes, 3 weeks out. And the Lord says, Steve, I want you to take your sign down. Okay, all right. So I took my sign out of the yard and I put it in the garage. And my wife's walking by the front yard and she's like, Steve, where's the sign? And I said, the Lord just told me to take it down this morning. And she just bent over, I am so confused. And I said, I know. I said, but this is what he's asking us to do. He's going to do something. He's about to do something. It's hard. And so I go to a Christian bookstore, and I ask the Lord, what do you want me to see? And he brings me to a book by Joy Dawson called The Fire of God, and I take it home and I start reading it. And she talks about Psalm 37:5. It says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him. And the ESV version says, and he will act. So she said, the word in Hebrew for commit is the same as the word for to throw. So she said, find something that you can literally throw and call it whatever it is you're facing and literally throw it to God. Throw it across the room. Throw it to God. Okay. So I got a piece of paper. I crumpled it up and I called it my finances. And I just said, Lord, it's yours. I threw it to him. Because God is big enough to catch your problem, your situation, and all the people and circumstances surrounding it. That's how big God is. And so I threw it to God. An hour later, I checked my email. And this family that had heard me speak in a church about 5 months before that really were attracted to the ministry, God just really touched them. I get an email from them. And they're explaining to me in this email that they have some condominiums that they'd invested in about 5 years before. And they had just sold one, and it had doubled in value over the last 5 years. And they said, the profit we know is God's money, so we've been praying and asking the Lord what he wants us to do with that money. And he told us. The wife was driving a riding lawnmower, and she was praying about it. And God said, I want you to give it all to Steve Burke. Not to the ministry, but to him personally, for his family. So she did. And of course, I email her back, and I'm saying, you know, what about your tax break? You know, why don't you donate it to the ministry? You get, you know, we're a 501c3, you get your tax deduction, and plus you should keep a percentage back to pay your taxes next year because that's income. And I get this email back. Steve, we know that. But the Lord has told us to give it to you, all of it to you, and that he has promised us through a scripture in Job, and I can't remember which one it is, that he would restore our wealth. And so we're going to give you this a check next week, and then when you come to Virginia, we'll talk about the rest, and God has taken care of me and my family for the next 2 years. It's incredible. The house was our Isaac. God did ask us for the house. He asked us for our American dream, what we thought was the American dream. And he said, Steve, I want that. And we know already that the Lord's going to bless this ministry. We know that millions of dollars are just going to flow through this ministry. We're not going to hold on to it, but it's going to flow through because God's doing stuff all around the world. And he wants people to know that he does provide. And so he asked us for our slice of the American dream. And we said, okay. And he said, okay, good. And he gave it back. He has blessed our family. And he's blessing our ministry too. I'm not seminary trained. I'm not, you know, I don't have any training at all except in my career field. I don't even speak Spanish. I'm a big white guy. And God says, perfect, I want to send you to Guatemala where they speak Spanish and they're all short people. It's incredible. It doesn't make sense. I wouldn't think of that. But God is big. You know, Paul was the Pharisee of Pharisees. He called himself that. I'm the Pharisee of Pharisees. But God didn't call Paul to the Pharisees. He knew the Pharisees in and out. But he called Paul to the Gentile, to the people group that he really didn't know that well. And that would force Paul to depend on God like he'd never depended on him before. And that's what God likes. He wants us to depend on him. So many times we look at our own talents and our own abilities and we go, well, I can do this, I can do this, this is where I fit in. But that's not how God works. He calls you to things that you can't do without him, that you can't do on your own. And I'm telling you, when you say yes to God, to something that is totally foreign to you, watch God work. You'll see miracles. You're going to see stuff that you never thought you'd ever see in your life, stuff you read about. You know, those missionary stories, and man, there's real stuff going on out there. God is doing some stuff. He is so big. But we get comfortable. You know, I could have told God no. I want to keep my house. But you know what I would have missed? The blessing of God. I would have missed the relationship of God. I mean, I'm telling you, when you say yes to God, no matter what he asks you to do or what he asks of you, that's where you see him the most. That's where you say yes to him. I'm going to go, Lord. I know it's scary. You know, this is a crazy thing to do. But you know what? I'm going to get out of that boat and I'm going to walk on that water. I'm not going to look at the waves. I'm going to look at you. And I'm telling you, he shows up. He provides. When he calls you to something, he already knows how he's going to provide for it. He already knows how your issues. He already knows you've got kids. He already knows you've got a husband or a wife. He already knows what you're facing. He knows how much money you owe. He knows all that. And he will take care of you. He just wants a yes. He wants that faith. He loves faith. It rocks heaven. It moves heaven. And then God brings it here. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We planted our first church about 21 months ago. I don't know anything about church planting, but you know, we planted one. And in 21 months, God has planted. We've planted 9 churches. 8 in Guatemala, 1 in El Salvador. God's moving us into Honduras. I'm going to India in September. I'm going to, it looks like Paraguay is starting to open up now. Who am I? I am nobody. I'm nobody. God's big. He's the one who does it. He's the one who, when you say yes to him, he's the one who does the miracles. And you just get to sit in the front row and watch him do it. Let's pray. Father God, you are so big, Lord. And we are your creation. And we marvel at your heavens, Father. We marvel at the stars and the sun and this planet that you've created and all those planets that are out there circling the sun, Lord, and the galaxies, Father. You are so big. You are so big. And how you love your children and how you love it, Lord. You love your children. You want to reach out across a globe to the farthest reaches of the globe to rescue a perishing world. Thank you for your son. Thank you for the cross and for the blood that was shed. Thank you for that whole opportunity that we have because of the resurrection to walk with the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, we ask you to live inside of our hearts today and for the rest of our lives, Father. May we walk with you as you would have us walk, as you would call us and lead us, Father. And may, Lord God, we be always daily dying to self, dying to our own will, our own ambitions, and submitting them to you. Because you are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be followed. You are worthy for us to put our faith in. Because you are sovereign, Lord. We love you. We need you. Bless this congregation, Father. Bless Pastor Rick. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.